Well, good morning. The choir has been waiting for 3 weeks to sing that song in the bleak midwinter because this is the first really cold, wet Sunday we've had. But God is good, and He is with us. Just a few announcements before we begin worship today. Please let Azalea or Kenny know if you would like to buy a poinsettia in honor or memory of someone this season. And today, right after worship, we're going to need help putting the chairs around the tables and setting up for the Joy Gift Supper, which will be this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So please plan to attend. Our speaker on Wednesday will tell us about the upcoming efforts to improve the Batson Children's Hospital in Jackson. So it should be interesting and a way that we can all get behind this wonderful effort in our state to improve health care for our children. Now, a lot going on this week, a lot. So today, from 1 to 3, there will be visitation for Howard Pickens at the home of Brenda and Frankie Graves. That's out at Lake Claiborne. I understand the gates are already open, so people can get in. 1 to 3 this afternoon. Then this evening at 6 p.m., we'll have local artists performing Christmas songs. And you should recognize many of them. That'll be, in fact, you get several opportunities to hear some good music this week. 6 p.m. at Port Gibson Baptist Church today. Noon on Tuesday at Port Gibson Methodist Church. And then Stepping Stone at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday. So all the music you could want over the next couple of days. Don't forget the Christmas breakfast next Sunday morning at 9 a.m., right? 10. Bulletin. You come at 9, you get to help set up. 10 o'clock for breakfast at Irene and Shreve's. Oh, and please remember to put your phones, tablets, whatever's on airplane mode. That does seem to help with our live streaming of the scripture and sermon portion of the service. So let's be called to worship with these words. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's worship our God as we stand to sing His praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we would pause in the midst of all our busyness and marvel at the way You have chosen to save us. For You didn't do what we would do. You didn't send a conquering army of angels to smash the powers of sin and death. No, they stood by while Your Son was born to a poor couple and died on a cruel cross. Lord, we wouldn't have come up with a plan like that to save the world, and we certainly don't understand it. But during this season, we would rejoice. We would rejoice in the protection, the provision, and the pardon You have brought to us through the life, the death, and the resurrection of the baby in the manger, our Lord Jesus, the One who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal. From Psalm 103 comes selection 606. In our New Testament reading, Mary will quote from this psalm, as well as from Psalm 107, and she will allude to Hannah's prayer. Mary was quite the biblical scholar, and so we need to catch up with her. So we're going to read this portion of Psalm 103. that we will then refer to later on. I'll read the light-faced print of selection 606 and encourage you to respond with the bold. So let's read this portion of God's word responsibly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
As Father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our
As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children.
Let's praise God for his steadfast love as we turn to selection 25, singing the praise of the God of glory and the Lord of love. We'll sing all four stanzas of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, hymn number 25, and let us stand to sing.
Oh,
We have sung our Lord's praise. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. And they are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's now prepare our hearts for prayer as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 38 as we remember God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is a meditation on God's mercy from the pen of Joseph Addison. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 38. And let us stand to sing. May be seated. Well, with the wonder of God's care, with the certainty of God's mercy, with the remembrance of God's help in the past, and with hope of God's help for years to come, with the confidence of children of God. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we are indeed a grateful people. You have given us so much to be thankful for. And Lord, you have blessed us for many years. Just this past week, we remembered a great servant of yours who has gone on to be with you, our former president, George H.W. Bush. And in that remembering, we remember that you have blessed us with great leaders throughout the years. You've blessed us with freedom to elect those leaders. Lord, in this Thanksgiving and Christmas season, we are blessed with family and with friends. Lord, we're surrounded by all sorts of material comforts. You've given us a measure of health and strength. You've allowed all those in this room the benefit and the blessing of being able to come together to worship. And we can do that, Lord, without fear of reprisals from government or from other hostile authorities. Lord, we are so grateful for all the blessings you have poured out upon us. But we have to confess, Lord, that sometimes we look at these blessings that you have given to us and we can fall into the sin of pride. Lord, it's easy for us to imagine that we somehow deserve to be so blessed. It's easy, our Lord, for us to look at others who are not so blessed and sometimes imagine that they somehow deserve their status. But Lord, we know that you have called us not only to be a blessed people, but to be a humble people. And so we pray that you would help us to learn that humility so that we might be more grateful to you. For as our deserving declines, your grace is magnified. And as our ability declines in our sight, your power is magnified. So, Lord, let us decrease in our own minds that you might increase and that we might truly join with Mary and with the prophets and with all the angels, singing your praise and giving you all the honor and the glory. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. God has given us his best. He's given us his Son. Let us respond to God's love and grace as we give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. O Lord, as our hearts are filled with joy and gratitude this season, help us to give gifts, not just today as we put an offering in the plate, and not just as we wrap presents and put them under the tree, but Lord, help us to give ourselves, all that we are and all that we have, to you for your glory and for your service. And that necessarily means, Lord, that we would also give ourselves to others as you gave yourself to us. For we offer this prayer in the name of the one who gave up his life that we might live with you forever, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue our study of Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, as we prepare for the coming of Christ. Mary was also getting ready. As we saw last week, she had some rather disturbing news from the angel Gabriel. And so today she goes to get some confirmation from her cousin Elizabeth, whom Gabriel said would also be having a miraculous child. Remember the passage before that, Elizabeth and Zechariah, her husband, were told they would have a child, even though they were too old to bear children. So Mary is going to find out if all of this really can be true, as we see in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning with verse 39 through verse 56, and then we'll see Mary's response to that good news. This is God's Word. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. That's God's word. Well, after Mary came to see her cousin Elizabeth, she could no longer have any room for doubt, could she? Not that Mary didn't believe what God said through the angel Gabriel. As we saw in the previous passage last week, she was willing to submit herself to God's will. She was willing to play her part in God's great plan of salvation for his people. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's what she said, and she meant it. But it was all a bit much to take in. That an angel of God would show up and talk to her? That she would be able to give birth to a child without having relations with a man? That the child would be the long-awaited Messiah? Yes, she was willing to go along with what the angel said, but a little confirmation would be welcome. After all, it could all have been some sort of a strange dream, right? Well, as soon as she entered Elizabeth's house, it became obvious this was no dream. This was no hallucination. For when he heard Mary's voice, the baby John the Baptist made his first prophecy. Before he was even born, he leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. But that wasn't all. Elizabeth herself was filled with the Holy Spirit and told Mary that everything the angel had said to her was true, even though Mary hadn't had a chance to tell her what the angel had in fact said. Elizabeth confirmed that Mary's baby would somehow be her Lord, and she praised Mary for believing what the angel had said to her. No, there was no longer any room for doubt. So how did Mary respond to this miraculous confirmation of the angel's equally miraculous news? Well, she composed a poem. And in Latin, it's called the Magnificat. It's a poem that's been treasured for centuries. It's been set to music countless times. But unlike the proclamations from Gabriel and John the Baptist and Elizabeth, this is not so much a message from God, although it was certainly inspired by the Holy Spirit. No, this is primarily a message for God. It's a song of praise and adoration. It's a reflection on God's grace and mercy. It's a meditation on the wonder of God's blessings. And thus, it can be an example to us in how we should respond to God's blessings, how we should react to the same news that came to Mary. Now, as we would expect, Mary begins her poem on a personal note. This was, after all, a very personal blessing. In verses 48 and 49, she marvels that she would be remembered for the rest of human history because God had chosen her to play a critical role in his plan to redeem his people. She had reason to be proud. But along with her joy and her faith in God's promises, instead, this humble amazement comes through. She's simply overwhelmed that the Almighty God would choose to do such a great thing for her and through her, that God himself would somehow condescend to bless her, an ordinary girl from an obscure family, from an out-of-the-way town. Not in pride, but in humility, she calls herself not the queen of heaven, but the handmaiden, the bond slave of God. Oh yes, Mary sets a tremendous example for us. She shows us the way that we should respond to God when he blesses us. Yes, we have been blessed, but do we really have any reason to be proud? Sure, we've got material possessions. Sure, we might have academic or vocational abilities. Some might be blessed with physical beauty or health. How long do those things last? But Mary's fame endures forever, today. So if the mother of Jesus could find no room for pride in her life, how can we? But Mary's poem sets another example for us, not just an example of humility, but I hope you noticed the immense learning that went into this poem. For Mary not only understood God's grace to her as an individual, she not only reacted to what was happening in the moment, no, because she knew the scriptures thoroughly. And like many people in those days, she had probably committed large portions of it to memory. Because she knew the scripture so well, she knew that the birth of this child was in some way a fulfillment of so many of those prophecies and promises God had made throughout the Old Testament. That's an example for us. Because the more we know about God's word, the greater our confidence in God will be. The greater our confidence in God's power and God's faithfulness will be. Let's take an example. At the very end of the poem, she points to God's promise to Abraham. Now, that's really reaching back, because that was a promise that was made some 2,000 years before her time. So that'd be like 4,000 years ago. Way back in Genesis chapter 12, God not only promised to bless and protect Abraham personally. God not only promised that Abraham would become a great nation by having many descendants, God not only promised to give those descendants the land where Abraham himself was merely a wanderer, a guest. No. God also said that somehow through Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And when Mary is writing this poem, she realizes that all those promises are fulfilled in the coming of her son. For you see, Jesus did not just come to save the Jews, the physical descendants of Abraham. No, he came so that both Jew and Gentile could be redeemed from our sins. He came so that a multitude that cannot be numbered, so that people from every tribe and tongue and nation who share the faith of Abraham will one day stand on a transformed earth, speaking with one voice in praise of our God who sits on the throne, in praise of the Lamb of God, Mary's son, for their salvation. Oh, it's no wonder, is it, that Mary exalted and rejoiced in the Lord, because she knew that he is faithful. He is faithful to keep his promises. Oh, but what sort of salvation would Mary's child bring to all the nations? Well, in verses 51 and 52, she meditates on the perfect justice that the Messiah would bring to the world. In this, she's looking forward to the time when the proud will be scattered, the mighty will be toppled from their seats of power. So she is looking forward. But in making this point, she's also looking back. She's looking back to the Old Testament. She's alluding to the Song of Hannah, and she's also alluding to Psalm 107, which she will quote in just a moment. In Psalm 107, the psalmist praises God for pouring contempt on princes who oppress God's people with misery and sorrow. For someone like Mary, that meant a lot. Living as she was under the tyrannical occupation of the Roman army, knowing that her God is a God of justice, that would be a great comfort indeed. And I suppose it still is for us today. After all, our own news sources are filled with all sorts of stories of people looking for justice, from French truck drivers rioting about high fuel taxes, to North Carolinians wondering if their ballots were properly counted. People want justice. And how many times have we all put our faith in politicians to give us justice, to make things right, only to see them go back on their promises after they've been elected? No, if there's anything that we human beings should have learned by now, it's that we should put our faith not in any human Caesar, but in King Jesus, to bring the sort of justice that Mary describes, the sort of justice the psalmist describes. But in verses 52 and 53, Mary gives yet another reason for her rejoicing. She's looking forward to yet another way the Messiah will bless all the nations, not just by protecting the powerless with justice, but also by providing for the poor. And in this, she quotes from Psalm 107, which praises God who has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Mary knew the promises God had made to his people. And just as God's promise to Abraham extended to all the nations, so Psalm 107 makes it clear that God's promise of protection and provision applies to, well, all kinds of people. If you look at that psalm, you find the psalmist giving thanks to God for breaking the bonds of those who live in darkness in the shadow of death. He praises God for protecting the sailors from the dangers of the winds and the waves. He even thanks God for saving rebellious fools from the consequences of their sins. And that points to perhaps the greatest reason for Mary's rejoicing, and for ours. For in verse 50, she quotes from another psalm, Psalm 103, the one we read responsively this morning. She praises God for the mercy that he extends from generation to those who fear him. You see, Mary was not only convinced that her child would protect his people. She was not only convinced that her child would provide for his people, but she also was somehow certain that her child would be part of God's plan to pardon his people, to remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. That's how far God will remove our transgressions for us. And yes, that is the greatest reason for all of us to join Mary in magnifying, in exalting our God, who is, as Psalm 103 says, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in hesed, faithful, steadfast, covenant-keeping love. That is the greatest reason for us to join Mary in rejoicing in God our Savior, because he has the same sort of compassion, as Psalm 103 says, the same sort of compassion on us that fathers have for their children. Because his faithful, covenant-keeping love is as great as the heavens are high above the earth. You know, Gabriel told Mary to name the baby Jesus. That means Savior. And Jesus did grow up to fulfill all those prophecies. He did grow up to save his people in so many ways. Jesus fed 5,000 families with 5 dinner rolls and a couple of sardines. He provides. And doesn't he still provide for all of us? Hasn't he blessed us in so many ways, ways too numerous to count? Jesus brought healing to a leper with a touch. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead by the word of his power. And doesn't Jesus still answer our prayers for healing? Doesn't Jesus still bring people back from the brink of death itself? Doesn't he still save us in these ways? But in addition to all the material blessings he's poured out upon us, we know that Jesus saves us in a much deeper way. We know that Jesus is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the one who would take away the sin of the world by shedding his own blood on the cross for all who would trust in him. We know that Jesus died to pay the penalty that all our sins deserve. We know that by the power of his resurrection, he has set all his people free from bondage to sin and death. He has restored us to a perfect relationship with the Father. Oh, yes, he saves us. And we know that Jesus will come again to establish his perfect justice in all the world, to bring full and final vindication on all those who are oppressed. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Along with Mary, we have many reasons to bless the Lord, to bless his holy name. So during this Christmas season, let's do that. Let's join Mary in trusting God to keep his promises, promises to forgive all who would trust in Christ as Savior. Let's join Mary as we submit ourselves to the will of God, as we bow the knee in obedience to Christ as the Lord of our lives. And let us rejoice with Mary that in Jesus Christ, God has given us so much. He's given us protection from our enemies. He's given us provision of our needs. He's given us pardon of our sins. And let us join the psalmists and the angels in heaven in their wholehearted hymns of praise and thanksgiving to God, blessing the Lord with all that is within us, exalting the Lord and rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Let's do that. As we take up our hymnals, we'll turn to selection 106, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing all the stanzas and let us stand to sing. This week, may we rejoice in the God who protects us, the God who provides for us, the God who pardons us by His Son, our Savior. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.